You're listening to It's All About Food. Here we are on January 15, 2013. And now we're going to bring on my next guest, Talia Lutzker, and talk about her new book, Ayurvedic Vegan Kitchen. She's a certified Ayurvedic practitioner, nutritionist, professional chef, and founder of Talia's Kitchen Catering Company, and the author of two cookbooks. She also teaches yoga, cooking classes, and is a certified Ayurvedic masseuse. Talia's passion for holistic medicine and innovative healthy food sparkles through in her intelligent, warm, fun, and inspiring teaching style. Through cleansing programs, cooking classes, and one-on-one consultations, she helps people learn to love cooking, self-care, and eating well. Welcome to It's All About Food, Talia.
Thank you, Karen.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Well, I was just talking with another woman about everything that it looks like you're about, finding harmony through food. I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Because there's a lot of things, as I was talking about in the last half hour, that are wrong with the world that can be very overwhelming, very frustrating, very depressing, and I'm so glad that there are people out there like yourself that are making it fun and making it tasty and making it balanced. Because that's what Ayurvedic is about, right? Finding balance?
Yes. Yes, finding balance between your particular constitution and the foods that you eat, or even the type of yoga that you do or the type of workouts that you do, you know, just really taking into consideration the uniqueness of yourself and then bringing outside elements that are going to calm that or, you know, bring more serenity to you.
What brought you to Ayurvedic food and study?
Well, you know, I have to tell you before I answer that question directly, I was looking at your website, and you were the executive director at EarthSave.
Yep.
And when I was in college, I went to UC Santa Barbara, but then I moved up to Santa Cruz just for a quarter to be an intern at EarthSave. And so I also worked for them.
That wasn't when I was there, probably.
No, not when you were there. But
was that when they were on Frederick Street in Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Funky little house there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved that. And that was, I mean, it's sort of the part of the history of how I came to Ayurveda was I was always really interested in food as a way of healing not only, you know, on a health, on a personal health realm, but also in a more global way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in my late 20s, I went to become a certified yoga teacher. I had been practicing yoga for about 8 years. And when I was at my yoga teacher training, we were introduced to Ayurveda. It was the first time I'd ever heard of it. But I also got sick at my teacher training. And the nature of my illness was just severe itchiness, and basically a rash broke out kind of all over my body. And I had had some psoriasis when I was younger, like around the age of 12, and then again when I was a teenager, and again when I was in my early 20s, but it was never a huge problem. It was more just sort of a nuisance. And when this rash broke out all over my body, I just kind of knew what Western medicine had to offer, and I didn't want it.
Not much,
especially when it comes to skin and, like, sort of an unknown, a mystery cause, caused illness like psoriasis or eczema, according to Western medicine. So I just set out on this journey to find a holistic healthcare practitioner. And I saw many people, but about 3 months into it, I met Deanna Batdorf, who is now my Ayurvedic practitioner, one of my dearest friends, my mentor. She's the person who wrote the foreword to my book. And it was just the Ayurvedic way towards healing made so much sense to me. It was like somebody looking at me with a laser right into the center of my soul and seeing not just the physical issues, but the spiritual and the emotional issues that were also feeding the problem. And Ayurveda has just been the most amazing godsend for me. I just love it. And within about less than 6 months of eating an Ayurvedic diet that was right for my constitution, 85 to 90% of the skin rash was completely gone, never came back again. My hormones were more balanced. My mood was more balanced. I was emotionally more stable. I found my passion, for what I wanted to do in the world, which up until then I had not had any contact with.
It's so, all about food.
Yeah, I mean, it really, food was the pathway.
Okay, so here's my question for you. My understanding of Ayurvedic is heavily combined with dairy foods, and yet you've come up with a vegan version, and I love it because I'm all about vegan.
Yes.
I have a lot of concern about dairy foods. So how does that work? How is it that Ayurvedic, which is includes dairy as a food, how is it that it considers that balanced, and how can you come along and make it vegan? And how do some people react to that who really believe in the traditional principles? Is that a mouthful?
Well, yeah. You know, I haven't actually run into yet. I haven't run into any Ayurvedic doctors or practitioners who are like, I don't like what you're doing. I don't think this is Ayurveda because you've taken out dairy. My approach to this was, you know, Ayurveda looks at every food and herb and living thing as it possesses its own elemental constitution, and it's the energy behind that constitution, meaning, you know, ether, air, fire, water, or earth, that gives it its nutritional properties. I mean, there's also, you know, vitamins and minerals, which are more individual per food, but in a larger scale, from an Ayurvedic standpoint, we're looking at the energetics of food and how the energetic of a food can put somebody more into balance or more into an imbalanced state, depending on the person and depending on the food.
Mm-hmm.
So dairy in general is very sweet. And you know, we really want to think about this as Ayurveda is a 5,000-year-old science, originating from India, where the cow is revered as absolutely sacred. And I don't know if you've ever been to India, but
yes.
Like cows stop traffic. I mean, you just like, you go around the cow. In fact, one time I saw a cow in a restaurant. I was just like, what? But it was just, it had wandered into the restaurant and nobody was trying to get it out. It was probably like a big, you know, kind of an honor that it was in there. But the energetic of dairy, which is predominantly sweet, is going to have a balancing, grounding effect on the constitutions of what we call vata and pitta. Vata is the constitution of air and ether that's very light and dry. So the moistening aspects of dairy are helpful for vata. And pitta is fire and water, which is very hot and oily, and there are aspects of dairy that are cooling, and so really good for the pitta dosha, which basically means element. But what I did was looked at, okay, so we've got this sweet nature from the milk, from the oily nature that goes into butter or ghee, but where else can I find those same qualities in plant-based foods? Well, I can find the oily cooling quality in coconut oil, so which is also a stable oil when you heat it. So it's on par with butter or ghee in that way of, like, you're not changing, you know, a monounsaturated fat like olive oil into a saturated fat when you cook it, which we really don't want to do. We're using a fat that's already saturated mm-hmm. and that is going to have a higher smoke point and therefore be more health-giving in the long term, like coconut oil. So that's the oil that kind of dominates the dominates my book in terms of an oil that I'm using for heating or for making foods hot. And then I was able to find that same sweet grounding quality in nuts like cashews and Brazil nuts and the occasional macadamia nut.
Mm, bless those nuts and all that they can do. They are the best.
Yeah, they're great. And when you soak them and you combine them with some lemon juice and some salt and some miso paste or, you know, all different ingredients that complement them, it really ends up tasting like cheese. And so I even have a couple recipes mm-hmm. in here that are
better
basically
than cheese.
Better than cheese. I mean, it's, it's such a great alternative to people who are lactose intolerant, who don't want to eat dairy for whatever reason, or and for vegans. And I just found that while it may not always be a perfect exchange, it's good enough. And it really works. I mean, these recipes really work.
Now, something I noticed, maybe I missed something, but it looks like there's no wheat in this book, or at least the one that had a pasta made an alternative for rice pasta.
Yeah, you didn't miss that. That was a good eye on your part. In my personal Ayurvedic practice, I have so many clients who are not only having issues with dairy, but also with gluten,
mm-hmm.
that it's become another one of my specialties is helping people navigate through a gluten-free diet and a gluten-free lifestyle. So I just felt like it would be really helpful to leave my book predominantly gluten-free. There's really only a few recipes that contain gluten in the form of barley predominantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was also a good marketing point about the book, even
yeah.
though my publisher isn't,
it should,
you know,
say it on here.
Pointing
to
towards that. I know, I think so too,
yeah.
but maybe it'll come out in the second printing.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but it's trendy.
No, it's super. I just was in a meeting this morning where someone told me that the gluten-free, like as a buzzword, as an interest in the general public, has gone up another 30% from 2012,
yeah.
where it was already, you know, made such a huge impact on the industry.
In some ways it's scary because people aren't feeling good, and there's lots of reasons why they're not feeling good, and I think food has a big part of it, but more people are discovering when they eliminate wheat, when they eliminate gluten, they feel better. What's going on with our food supply is scary, and what's
yeah.
going on with wheat, which was supposedly the staff of life.
right.
And I support it. Most of the recipes at Responsible Eating and Living are gluten-free, and I'm having a lot of fun with that, working with different flours that I had never worked with in my life, all these bean flours and nut flours and other grain flours. It's just opening my world. I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun. And, you know, Ayurveda's main, like at the core of Ayurvedic medicine is the ability to digest your foods completely. That if you have a healthy, vital, vibrant digestive system, the rest of your tissues and mm-hmm. organs and other bodily systems are going to respond to that in a positive, more healthy way. And so because that's another, you know, that's also part of my thinking of making the book predominantly gluten-free, although there are people in the world, plenty of people, who can process gluten just fine. And so I'm not saying, like, gluten is bad for us. It just really depends on, can your digestive system mm-hmm. process it enough to create a sense of vitality within you? And you know, Everyone's different.
You know, it's about balance, and you know that. Balance, key word.
Yeah.
So many foods on grocery store shelves in the United States, in the Western world, and more in other countries has wheat in it. And there's a lot of reasons behind it, and some of it is because of corporate power and control of what's going on. We need balance. We need more recipes. We need more food without wheat.
Yeah. So, yeah, just as another, I mean, for me it was like an added bonus of the book when I was writing it to include that. So thanks for noticing.
I pay attention. Okay. Now, I want to talk about a few recipes in here. So I am a big fan of tea and hot beverages. I live in New York. It gets cold.
Yes.
And there's one of my favorite things to do is to just sit and have a warm, hot, or hot beverage. And you've got some great recipes in here. I'm a big fan of chai, and you've got a recipe for chai here. That looks great.
Yeah.
And then you have a few others that, and they all seem to have a little bit of ginger in it. Can you talk about ginger from an Ayurvedic point of view?
Yeah. I love ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ginger is almost tridoshic. And when I say tridoshic, I mean it's an herb that is going to typically balance anybody. So there's three doshas, three basic Ayurvedic elements in Ayurvedic medicine, vata, pitta, and kapha. And ginger is going to balance all three of them for the most part. Sometimes ginger, if it's too hot, like if there's too much of it that is really hot, like especially in the form of dried ginger, it can be a little too pungent maybe for the vata dosha or a little too heating for the pitta dosha. So they have to pay attention to how much they take of ginger and in what forms. But for the most part, ginger is an anti-inflammatory, circulatory herb. So it's going to increase and increase blood flow, making blood flow stronger and more vital. And it's also going to help with any sort of itis, you know, in Western medicine. So as an anti-inflammatory food. So I really love to just add it for that little bit of kick that it gives, both in flavor but also in energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing that I don't focus on in my book very much at all is forms of caffeine. And I you know, I'm such a, I feel like I just am, I love food so much. I'm such a foodie, and yet I call myself a health-conscious foodie because I just love to feel good when I eat and feel good all the time.
Shouldn't we all want that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, I just think that everyone's so different. Like, I meet people who, they have such strong digestive systems. They eat whatever they want, and they never have problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand their perspective of, why should I try to eat better? I like what I'm eating, and I'm not having any issues. And
can I interject something there?
Yes.
I know that there's a lot of different people out there. There are a handful of people, not many, but a few people that live a very long life, and they're doing everything that we think is wrong, and
right.
That's a mystery. Okay, let's not talk about them. But I think a lot of people who are not eating well have lost their vitality. Their body's just given up. And they may not notice that the food is causing any problem, but at some point they're going to fall apart and fall apart badly. That's just my opinion.
Right.
But anyway, continue.
No, I agree with you, and I see that too. But it's, you know, sometimes it's just they've got to hit 40 or 50 before that starts to happen, and they have to be, the symptoms have to be uncomfortable enough for them to want to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, going back to ginger, that ginger has this sort of warm, invigorating action in the body. It gives us energy. So that's why I've included it in a lot of these drinks, especially if they're a warm drink to be taken in the morning. And when it's a drink to be taken at night, I mean, ginger is not going to keep you awake, but it's going to improve blood circulation, which studies have shown actually help us relax more when we do start to unwind at the end of the day.
It's a really powerful food because of all of those properties. It can energize you, make you feel really warm inside, and that warmth can give you energy, or that warmth can actually relax you and make you feel cozy when it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah, and usually it's showing you exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not some arbitrary, like, sometimes I feel this way and sometimes I feel this way. It's like your body is responding to it naturally and showing you, like, actually, you could really relax right now. That would be in alignment with what you're needing. Or, wow, this gave you energy. You were ready for it, and here it is. It's also a great digestive herb. So I've included it in a lot of my recipes because as a tridoshic digestive, carminative, and just digestive tonifier, it's a good one to think about when we're putting into wanting to make hot drinks or all different kinds of food, really.
There's a lot of lovely recipes in here, and what I like is some of them are almost conventional, but you add different spices to them that make them new, almost.
Yeah.
We just have just a few seconds left, really. Where can people find you on the Internet?
They can find me at Talya's Kitchen, TalyasKitchen.com, and my book is available everywhere books are sold.
That sounds pretty good. Well, all the best with that. I think it's a really lovely book. Thank you for writing it.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
I think I'm going to go and have a cup of ginger turmeric tea now.
Nice.
Okay, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you can visit my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and have a delicious week. Thank you.